Well, Father, I surely do thank you today for all that you did during the Christmas season, the birth of your Son. And Father God, I thank you for what you're going to do for the rest of this year. But most of all, Father God, I thank you for what you're doing here this day. Meeting every need, Father. Completing the works that you began in each one of us. Father God, I thank you for your glory that fills the temple. I thank you for your angelic hostess ministering to your people as they sit in their seats. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father God, that speaks to your people. And Father, we just thank you for your message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I loved Barbara's testimony of the healing of the relationships. And God so desires to do that in each and every one of our relationships. He wants us to truly be healed. Everyone in the family, just not one or two, but everybody in the family. And as we trust God, I'm hearing him say he's going to bring resurrection power into the families. And he's going to heal relationships. And you're going to be surprised at what's going to happen as he heals. Amen. I just want to thank each and every one of you for coming out this morning to sit at the table of God and be fed fresh manna from heaven. Hi. I know that God has great and powerful things in store for his people. And we just have to take each and every day as it comes. Just let him bless. He truly just wants to bless. And he can only bless if you allow him to. This morning's message is called, God Said Over the Top. So I thought, well, all right, we'll go with this. Over the top. Judging others. Judge not. I'm sorry, this is verse 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Jesus is speaking. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So God says we have to quit judging one another. Show grace and show mercy. Verse 39, Jesus also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher. Now, I want you to listen to this. A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Are you all catching this? We need to quit judging, criticizing, backbiting, everything else that has been going on in the body of Christ. We need to stop it, and we need to look at ourselves, judge ourselves, and see what's going on with us. It's so easy and comfortable to judge another. That way you don't have to think about where you're coming from. But if you're judging, you already know where you're coming from. And it's not from the throne of grace. All right, verse 43 talks about a tree and its fruit. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are the grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So, see, God says over the top. So I put this scripture down so we can check ourselves. Are we ready to go over the top? What kind of fruit is your tree bearing? Years and years and years ago when I was in a church, a prophet called me out, and I was highly recognized at that time in this community. And God spoke very loud and very clear for all the world to hear. I'm going to cut down your tree because you're not bearing good fruit. But I'm going to regrow the tree, and when I do, you will bear good fruit that others can eat. So don't tell me your fruit is pure if it isn't. Because if you think you're bearing good fruit and you're not, God is going to reveal it. But see, I was bearing good fruit at that point. But there did come a point in my ministry where I didn't bear good fruit. And really, truly, when I was so new in the Lord, when I got that prophetic word, I didn't realize what really they were saying to me. So I didn't get embarrassed at all. And as I left that church, everybody was hugging me, "Pastor Barbara, we really do love you. We'll be praying for you." And I said, "Well, that's wonderful. All these people love me are going to be praying for me." So they knew that I was going to go into a valley. And see, sometimes it's good to be ignorant. You know? So. All right, then verse 46. All right, build your house in the rock. Verse 46 is Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man." All right, let's start that again. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built." That's if you're doing what God's telling you to do. But, verse 49, Jesus says, "But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So if you don't do what God's telling you to do, then your house is going to fall. Now let's hear what God, this in the green is what God prophesied. "I am taking all my overcomers, are you an overcomer? I am taking all my overcomers over the top in this brand new era/year. There is absolutely nothing to go back for this brand new year holds exactly that, brand new adventures. These adventures are things you have not accomplished before. These brand new things are things that are spoken of in my word, but have not been brought forth into fruition. But all of that is changing even as we speak. All things are brand new and all things are being brought out of obscurity into my marvelous light." If you are an overcomer, if you've been walking with God and doing everything God's calling you forth to do, I know you've been in a battle. I didn't say that you had to be battleless. But if you overcame all these things, then God's taking you over the top, and that's what you're going to enter into. God said, "I have promised that when this day shines forth, it will shine forth like the noonday sun, and it shall sparkle with all of my brilliance. In this new dispensation of time, all the greater works will be accomplished. All the greater works will be accomplished. For you see, it must all be accomplished for my son to return for the second time and take his bride on home to be with him." Everything is going to be accomplished. God said, "No stone shall be left unturned in this new dispensation of time. I know that at this given moment you cannot for one instant comprehend what I am saying, but you shall. Believe me, you shall. And when that day comes, you will shake your head in amazement at what you did not understand in my word and what I spoke to you. In this new dispensation of time, nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, will matter to you except kingdom business. I want each and every one of you to be about my kingdom business as you step over the top into the new dispensation of time. In this new dispensation of time, nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, will matter to you except kingdom business. I want each and every one of you to be about my kingdom business as you step over the top into the new dispensation of time. You won't be concerned about what people are thinking about you. You won't be concerned what they're going to say about you. You won't be concerned if the church rejects you. You won't be concerned about anything. You'll just know what God's calling you forth to do, and you will go forth and do it. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, God is saying. No more being held back by what the world or the church says about you or thinks about you, or what your husband and wife thinks about you or your children. You will just be about kingdom business. God said, all of you have been lingering around the fires of sin and temptation. I am pulling you out of that space of destruction, even as I speak the words right now. Now right now, this is what I say, right now, receive your total freedom from this outrageous sin of temptation. I'm going to read that again, and God's saying, right now, as I'm speaking this, all of you who have been lingering around the fires of sin and temptation, I am pulling you out of that space of destruction, even as I speak the words right now. Receive your total freedom from this outrageous sin of temptation. So as God was dictating this to me, he says, I want them to receive this as you speak this to them. So receive your freedom right now. From whatever it is, I'm hearing him say, the wages of sin that hold you back from receiving all that God would have for you. Amen. Some of you are really getting set free right now. God said, my word tells you that a way was made to be free from all temptations. But so very few have taken it. I implore you this day to take that way right now and be freed from all temptations of the flesh and walk on in total confidence that I am for you and not against you, and the good works I started in you I am well able to finish. I'm going to read that again as I do receive what God's saying he's doing here. My word tells you that a way was made to be free from all temptations, but so very few have taken it. I implore you this day to take that way right now, that way to be free from your temptation, and be freed from all temptations of the flesh, and walk on in total confidence that I am for you and not against you, and the good works I started in you I am well able to finish. Receive your total and complete freedom right now. You in here who pastor churches or who are evangelists or you know, whatever you are, you have to be free before you can go forth and set others free. You cannot go forth and minister bound up. You have to be totally and completely free. God said, after all, am I not the author and finisher of your lives? God said, have I not said in my word that I would lead you by the still waters and I would take you into the high places to be seated with me? Am I a man that I should lie? No, I am not. Therefore, what I have spoken in my word, I am more than able to accomplish. And when you go over the top in my presence, you are standing in the very essence of who I am, and you have all authority and power of the Godhead at your disposal, just as my son Jesus did. I'm going to read that statement again. When you go over the top in my presence, you are standing in the very essence of who I am, and you have all authority and power of God, that the Godhead at your disposal, just as my son Jesus did. God said, you need not cower at the enemy and his evil forces, for I have already made every way of escape, and he can no longer harass and intimidate. However, the enemy was coming at you and intimidating you and harassing you is finished right now, this moment, because God is setting you free. God said, over the top takes you into the very throne room of no more compromise, just total faith in all that I have spoken over your lives. Over the top takes you into the very throne room of no more compromise, just total faith in all that I have spoken over your lives. Over the top takes you to a place of understanding of who you truly are in me and what I desire for you to accomplish at this given time. Over the top takes you to a place of understanding of who you truly are in me and what I desire for you to accomplish at this given time. Right now, you need to say to God, I need to understand who I am in you and what you desire me to do for you. God said, no more compromise. Total faith and trust and truth in Him. And God is saying to you, ladies, to you three ladies, you need to accept who you are in Christ at this very moment. And then go forth undaunted by the situations around about you. God said, you are just one centimeter away from going totally and completely over the top into an everlasting covenant with me that will take you into the throes of all that I have written in your books. You are just one centimeter away from going totally and completely over the top into an everlasting covenant with me that will take you into the throes of all that I have written in your books. You're that close. You're that close to becoming the man or woman of God that God really has ordained you to be. God said, when you go totally over the top, you will no longer sit puzzled, wondering what is going on in your life and the lives around about you. You will be just like my son Jesus, and you will know all things pertaining to kingdom authority. This is where we need to be. When you go totally over the top, you will no longer sit puzzled and wondering what is going on in your life and the lives around about you. You would just be like my son Jesus, and you would know all things pertaining to kingdom authority. Over the top brings you into the dispensation of time that my son lived in continually. Over the top brings you into the dispensation of time that my son lived in continually. You see, the same theme that followed my son will follow you when you go over the top. You say, what was that theme? I say miracle after miracle after miracle. Deliverances like you have never seen before. You will have the same power and authority my son has. And when you walk into a room, the enemy will flee because he cannot stand your presence. He must escape at all cost. In this dispensation of over the top, you shall see mass deliverances, and people will be totally and completely set free from all bondages instantly. That time is upon you. Will you go over the top today and step into that time frame of mass deliverances? That time is upon you. Will you go over the top tonight and step into that time frame of mass deliverances? Then God said, why mass deliverances, you ask? God says, when the world comes into my houses of refuge, they bring all of hell with them, and you will not have time for individual deliverances. The works must be accomplished immediately, because time, as you know, it is running out, and we must work the works while it is still day. Won't that be fantastic? When the people step in inside of an anointed church, the devil runs back out the door and lets a person stand here, totally free of all bondage. God said, if you could just see past your insecurities this day, you would see into the spirit realm and you would see my son sitting at my right hand, cheering you on. You would walk under an open heaven continually. I know you have listened while I declared the heavens were open over you, but you have not stepped into the full knowledge of that statement. Let's read that again. If you could just see past your insecurities, that's the important thing right there, this day, you would see into the spirit realm and you would see my son sitting at my right hand, cheering you on. You would walk under an open heaven continually. I know you have listened while I declared the heavens were open over you, but you have not stepped into the full knowledge of that statement. That's God telling you that, not me, but I also know that's true. God said, but when it becomes reality to you, you will walk in the supernatural, and you will accomplish the greater works, and you will no longer be slaves to unrighteousness, but you will be the epitome of righteousness. Read that again. But when the open heaven over you becomes a reality to you, you will walk in the supernatural, and you will accomplish the greater works, and you will no longer be slaves to unrighteousness, but you will be the epitome of righteousness. My son Jesus had the same decisions to make that you have, and he chose to follow righteousness and accomplish all the works that were set before him. Going over the top means stepping into your calling and accomplishing your calling, fulfilling all that is written in your book of life. Going over the top means stepping into your calling and accomplishing your calling, fulfilling all that is written in your book of life. I'm asking you right now, are you really ready to step into your calling 100% and accomplishing all that God wants to accomplish in that calling that he placed upon your life? And God's running, what he's talking about, he's in this vein of talking like this because the message he gave me for tonight, which I'm going to give Wednesday night instead, talks about the same thing, and even the January newsletter, the same vein is going. This is where God is at this given time. It's up to each one of you sitting in here today whether or not you receive what God is saying to you. I'm hearing God say the fullness of time has surely come upon the church, the body of Christ, and it's up to you whether or not you step into the fullness of time or you stay where you're at. Never to step into the fullness of time. So this is a dispensation of time where you have to step into your calling and accomplish that calling, or God is going to pass you by. He needs somebody to do what he's calling you to do. And if you don't do what he's calling you to do, then he's going to bypass you and give your mantle to somebody else. Now, I wrote, what does it mean that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God? Because every time I hear that, a little bit curious, so I checked into it. Psalm 110 says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. God said to Jesus, sit at my right hand. In Matthew 26:64 shows that this is a prophecy about the Lord Jesus. Actually, it is the Old Testament verse quoted most often in the New Testament. Seated at the right hand of God says something of great significance about Jesus, but what exactly? You know, and I looked this up because of what God just spoke to us. Jesus said in his word, we would do the same things he did, but we would do greater works than he did. So if we're going to be doing the same things that Jesus did, then we need to understand why he sits at the right hand of the Father. Jesus conquered death. Firstly, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God means that he conquered death. Hebrews 1:3 says, after making purification for sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus cleansed our sins on the cross through his death. After that, the author of Hebrews immediately continues to Jesus' ascension to heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God. So that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God shows that death could not hold him. He conquered death. Jesus has the highest place. Jesus conquered death. Jesus had the highest place. Secondly, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God means that he has the highest place. In the Bible, the right hand, and especially God's right hand, is the hand of strength. You find that in Exodus 15:6. It's a hand of authority, you find that in Revelation 5:1. And it's a hand of blessing, you find that in Jesus' 48:14. I remember years ago, God was prophesying to somebody, and he said, if you notice, I said, I'm coming with my left hand. And I looked it up, and God's left hand is his hand of judgment. All right? So being seated at the right hand of God means that he shares God's strength, his authority, and his blessing. And if we're going to be doing the works that Jesus did in greater works, then we have God's strength, we have God's authority, and we carry God's blessings with us everywhere we go, and we should be decreeing those blessings over the people that we minister to. It is the highest place and the highest honor possible, being at the right hand of God. When Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, it means all other things and all other beings are under him. We read this in 1 Peter 3:22. Jesus Christ, who is going into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. 1 Peter 3:22. Jesus Christ, who is going into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. Jesus is a priest who took away our sin. Thirdly, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God means that he is a priest. This is what Psalm 110 tells us, because about the same person who gets the invitation to sit at God's right hand, it is said in Psalm 110 verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever. The main task of a priest is to bring sacrifices to God to take away sins. Hebrews 10:11, priests had to do that daily. But Jesus is different. He offered his own body as a sacrifice once and for all, and everybody who believes in him receives forgiveness. In Hebrews 10:10-12, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. You men are called to be the priest in your home, right? Then you need to bring a sacrifice to God to cover your family and see that the enemy does them no harm. Do you do that? Are you men really priests in your home? And are you really covering your family the way you ought? Or are you putting them under your feet where they should never be? All right? Jesus is a king who will rule the earth. Fourthly, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God means that he is a king. Again, we know that because Psalm 110:2 tells us so. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter, rule in the midst of your enemies. A scepter is the instrument of a king. Ruling is a job of a king. The rest of the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus will rule the entire earth when he returns. For example, in Revelation 19:15-16, he is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. We serve a mighty king. He is the maker of the universe. But we don't show him the respect that is due him. We don't bring him a sacrifice of praise daily. We don't sit at his feet and honor him like we ought. But yet we want this King of Kings and Lord of Lords to continually bless us. We need to change the way we've approached the King of Kings. We need to honor him as a king. And you men need to honor your families. Keep them covered before God. And give the enemy no space to harass. You don't have a man in your family, women, you're the priest. You become the priest. God told me that one time. You are the one then that has to make sure their family is covered. You have to bring God a sacrifice of praise. You have to make sure the blood is shed upon your peoples. You're the one that has to make sure, women, that the enemy cannot come into your home and destroy your children. Are you understanding this? I'm hearing God say somebody has to take the priestly role. here on this earth. If there's no man in the family, then it's the woman. Jesus will return to judge and to acquit. So that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God means that he has the highest place, and that will become even clearer when he returns to rule the earth. There's a lot of people who think there is no Jesus. They mock Jesus. But when he comes a second time, they're going to find out they were wrong. And the ones who truly believed in Jesus were right. All right, that's a scary thought for all who resist and reject him, for they will be punished and not receive eternal life. I said, so that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God means that he has the highest place, and that will become even clearer when he returns to rule the earth. That is a scary thought for all who resist and reject him, for they will be punished and not receive eternal life. But that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God also means that he forgives the sins of all who believe in him. And it means that he has conquered death and therefore can and will give eternal life to these believers. He forgives the sins of all who believe in him. Make sure you're among those who believe in Christ. Then it is great news to know that the Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Alive in Christ, Ephesians 2:5-7, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might display the surpassing riches of his grace demonstrated by his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Let's read that again. Ephesians 2:5-7, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved. Even before you were saved, we were seated, right? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So if we're seated up in the heavenly realms, then are we also at the right hand of God? The word says we were raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Why? In order that in the coming ages he might display the surpassing riches of his grace demonstrated by his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now I wrote down again what God said. Going over the top means stepping into your calling and accomplishing your calling, fulfilling all that is written in your book of life, just as my son Jesus did. We are supposed to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We are not supposed to stay the same as we were before we gave our hearts to Jesus. I have found out through the years that there are a lot of people sitting in the house of God that aren't even saved. They were just told to repeat a sinner's prayer. They didn't repent, not one tiddly. They just repeated what somebody's told them to repeat. Then they went on their merry ways and never changed. I know when I first became born again, every time I went to church, they had a big room. They called everybody back there. They said the same thing over everybody, gave you a book and said, go on your way. I didn't know anything. I was no more saved. I mean, I was saved, but if I wasn't saved and I went into that room, I've been no more saved than a seat in that room. There was no anointing to be saved. It was just a bunch of people taken into a room. You have to work out your own salvation. You are the one that's going to have to go to the throne of grace and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I can't tell you, repeat after me and you're saved. I can't do that. You have to have your own conversation with your Father in heaven. And you have to make sure that each and every day that you are changing the way you live, that you are not staying the same person that you were before you said a sinner's prayer. And I'm asking each and every one of you tonight, are you truly saved? That's the first question. Or are you just sitting in the house of God thinking you're saved? This is very serious because through the years I've been ministering, I've found out a whole lot of people are not saved. A whole lot of people have never changed. Just because they spoke words meant nothing. And some people didn't even speak words. I knew a person who said that they were going to church all the time, every time the doors were open, but they were not saved. And they knew that. They were just going there because they said you can find women, vulnerable women in the house of God to lay with. That was their only purpose for going into the house of God. But everybody thought this person was saved. Come on. And somebody singled this person out in another church meeting and said, you don't even have the Holy Spirit. There's no way you're going to heaven. Said it very nicely. He pulled him aside and said it very nicely. But how many people didn't know that? You could be sitting with somebody right here today that's not saved. They've just come into the house of God. Their lives are not changed. They're still the same person they were when they claim to receive Christ. So if you really have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will change. You might not change instantly, but you will work on changing. You will be convicted if the words are being preached, and you will know that you have to work on changing from the inside out. That you can no longer wear a mask when you go into the house of God or around other Christians. That you have to be who you are, open, and being just exactly who you are. All right? Do you really want to go over the top? I'm going to quit talking because that's getting into my other message. Do you really want to go over the top this morning? And that means stepping into your calling. And not only stepping into it, but accomplishing everything God wants you to accomplish in that calling. God's saying right now to me, there's too much disunity in the body of Christ. And until the body of Christ becomes unified, God can't bless. Is there disunity in your home? If there's disunity in your home, God can't bless you. I'm saying that because 4 o'clock this morning, God told me there was not unity in my home and he couldn't bless until the disunity was taken care of. Are you listening here? So if you're responsible for your home, then it's your responsibility to bring unity into your home. And if the people in your home don't want to get into unity, you turn them over to God. God will do the works. You don't have to do nothing else. Once you did your part, then you turn it over to God and he finished the works. But it's up to you this morning whether or not you go over the top. If you choose to go over the top, you know, into your calling, then God has the altar open for the anointing to go over the top and stay over the top, never ever again to go back into your old lifestyle. You who have ministries of any type, you need to really examine yourself really hard, really close. Where are you at with Jesus Christ? If you're not in the right place, you either have to give up your position of authority or you have to get yourself right. God's no longer going to tolerate you being in sin and teaching his word. He quit doing that a while back. So if you're through judging yourself, then the altar's open and God's ready to anoint you to stay in your calling and to accomplish all that he meant for you to accomplish. And God's saying, after today, you can no longer backslide. You have to stay in that safety zone with God. Allow him to move in your life. And if you go over the top this morning, I don't care where you minister, you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles occur. because it's no longer you that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth within you that's doing the works.